The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, episode number 490. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company senior SEO, Scott Vanak. All right, man, it is almost the end of the year, and I guess everyone who's listening, it will be the new year, so happy new year.
I hope it was great.
Yes, yes, and you know, it goes so fast, it might as well be that fast. Tomorrow it'll feel like the end, really. Anyway, yeah. It's just crazy how fast it comes. Today we're going to talk about our standard fare of news, but then we'll get into some of our predictions for 2025, which is always fun and interesting. And I don't think we've actually looked back at our one before. Maybe we can do that in our next episode and see how close we got.
Right? Yeah, I'd be scared to discover how wrong I am.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're always learning, right? Okay, well, let's start with the SEO news. Bing has officially removed the cache link from search results. This is on December 11th. They removed the cache link then. And Google removed their cache link back in February. What does this mean? It was a valuable tool for us. I really liked looking at a cache. It sometimes gave a different perspective on the website, what changes they've made. It was great for competitor analysis. What other uses would you have for it, Scott?
Yeah, I hadn't done this in a long time, but I remember back in the early days, it was something we checked all the time. Check the cache and the text version of that cache for a page in Google.
Right.
So you could really see, at least then, what Google saw. And at the time, like we're talking early 2000s, it was a good representation of how your site appeared in Google's eyes. Of course, that's changed a lot over the years. And obviously, I haven't tried to do that in a long time, and we haven't been able to for a long time now. But
I would have said not early 2000s. I'd say 2015. Still, we'd be doing that, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Maybe. Ever since COVID, time doesn't matter to me anymore. It doesn't. I can't keep track of anything. So it was that recent. But even that's 9 years ago. So
yeah. But still, yeah.
Yeah.
Way different than the early 2000s. Like, that's mind blowing how long ago that was.
We also used to, like, if I was doing an audit or things like that, checking the Google's cache text version was often a good way to find hidden text and spammy features, things like that. If links weren't actually linked, especially because for the longest time, even now, Google still has a bit of trouble with JavaScript. But even then, like, if you weren't sure if Google could see your JavaScript links, or maybe you're doing something crazy with frames. thank God those days are over. I don't miss frames at all, or Flash even. It was really useful then to get a clue, but just not necessary anymore.
I believe you can still get it, though. Let me just see here. I'm going to try it. If you click on the dash on the right, or sorry, the sort of hamburger menu next to a URL and search results, except it's they're dots. Sometimes, let's see. Oh, no. Unable to view cache fusion version of URL on this one I picked, of course. Let me try another one.
I think you might be able to do view-cache:. Is that how it worked?
I know there's a way to do it. At least there was. I just haven't done it again. I haven't done it in ages.
Yeah, because actually, now that you mention that, I believe Google did remove the link, but you were still able to do it.
Yeah,
you're still able to view it.
There was a hack for it, or at least a way to do it by, I thought, clicking on that menu. Anyway, if we figure it out, we'll let you know in the next episode, or heck, you probably already know and we don't.
I think I just figured it out.
Okay.
C-H-E. We're just going to see, does this work? Oh, it didn't work. Never mind. Didn't figure it out.
Dang it.
It used to be if you just type cache colon URL, yeah, it would appear. The one I just tried did not work. I just get no results. So maybe that's completely dead now as well.
It is immensely useful for troubleshooting too. Like, well, yes, you know, what happened? Why did this? Why is that blank? What happened? I love that kind of stuff. All right. Well, this is your thing. Every time we have a show, you talk about the next update.
Does this have to be my thing? Why is this my thing? nobody likes these things. Nobody's going to like me anymore. Yeah. Guess what? We finished up the November core update. That was great. It ended on December 5th after over 3 weeks. And then December, what day did this start? Like 5 days later, the December core update rolls out, the fourth one of the year. Isn't that great? Right before Christmas. So there are a lot of people saying that this one is big. Barry Swartz says it's big in all uppercase. So lots of people complaining. But I try not to pay too much attention to people complaining about dropped rankings in a core update, because there's always going to be that. You're going to have winners and you're going to have losers in every update, no matter what. This one looks like it might be a bit more widespread. We'll see what happens. Google says it will last 2 weeks, but the last one was 24 days. So who really knows? I don't really trust Google when they say how long these will last. And this is the insight from Google on this core update. Typical. If you're wondering why there's a core update this month after one last month, we have a different core systems. We have different core systems that we're always improving. That's it. Which it's kind of a non-answer, but that's what we got. That's it. So
yeah, in our predictions coming up, I was thinking about saying that something's going to happen to these updates. Like, they're not going to give us any information, but really they're not giving us any information anyway. So
it's true. Like,
I'm at the point now where I'm really not sure they know everything that's going into these updates anymore.
Or they just want to be secretive.
It's just so automated or so AI based, you know, how much can they see? But I don't know. I'm no computer scientist. It could be I'm way off the mark there. All right. ChatGPT search, which is search GPT, is now available to all free users. So for the longest time, being a couple months since they launched, you could only access it if you logged in. You do get extra features by doing that. I understand. I'm not sure exactly what those were, but just the same, you do get it a little better if you have a login. But this is good. So you still have to log in though, and have, So if you're paying for it, you get extra features. If you don't pay for it, you still can use it, but you won't get those extra features. The thing is, you do have to have an account.
Yes.
Simpler.
Correct. I did a couple quick searches to test it because now I can, which is cool. Like, I can finally test it. And I found one test which was very useful. So I live in the Comox Valley. I did a search. What makes the Comox Valley great? And the results were awesome. It gave me a bunch of images, a bunch of content, a whole bunch of citations with usable, good local links where I live. It was actually great. And I could see a lot of people just stopping there, you know, with AI and the people in the citations are listed and that's great, but you maybe don't need to click them because they gave me enough information. And then I did a second test and I searched for Victoria hotels. This was not very useful. So it gave me the typical local map that you'd see in Google. It didn't look as good as it does in Google, but you know, they'll get there. It gave me pins for three hotels. Now I don't go to Victoria often, a couple times a year. I think there are more than three hotels in Google. The map was really zoomed out. They showed three downtown hotels. So that was it. Almost no content. And then a list of citations that were primarily the big things like TripAdvisor and Expedia and all those big guys, not necessarily a bunch of results from actual hotels in Victoria.
Did they get it right? I mean, there's a bunch of Victorias. Did they get that right in terms of your location? Okay.
Yeah, it was Victoria, BC.
Canada is much different than Victoria, Melbourne.
It was definitely BC. I think I would have noticed. Maybe. No, it was. It was for sure. It was for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, personally, I think if you're looking for specific products or services, it may be less useful. But if you're just looking for information, researching on a topic, you know, my preliminary results are, I kind of like it. It's good.
Yeah. And that's as of today. By the time people listen to this, it could be entirely different because it's a very fast moving target.
Yes.
It's going to be very interesting to see how it works. And I'm going to play around with it a bit over the holidays. I think Of course, I always say that I never do, but I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
I can't fish necessarily, so I'll be working on the boat a bit and reading up on all the things that are happening and finally working on playing around with some of these tools. All right, Google is testing a new things to do carousel. This is from Search Engine Roundtable. This is a richer experience that appears when you do a search that triggers the things to do. So if you say things to do in Victoria, then you're going to get a better experience. The new test shows an Instagram stories style carousel with high resolution images and information. This link is also appearing in the search menu bar below the search box. If you run an event or things to do type of website, you'll want to see if this test sticks. Who knows? It is, again, just a test. But and the other trick is it working in your area? Who knows? There's quite a number of tests we've talked about in the past. And gosh, a very small portion of them have actually ended up coming live.
That's true. There's a lot of these tests that don't materialize. I think this one might, if you saw the screenshot, I can't see it, of course, because it's US only. Go figure. The screenshot, you know, with Instagram and Facebook stories, things like that, you've got just like the little dots on the top and it scrolls through the images and it looks really good. Like, I think aesthetically it looks great. I don't know how practical it is from a usability standpoint because I can't personally test it. But I think, you know, it might be good if somebody's running an image, an event, or, you know, has a things to do type tourism based site or attractions or something. I think it might be good for them. We'll find out though.
All right. We'll see what happens there. All right. So we're going to jump now into the Mueller files. Disavowing toxic links is a waste of time. I love this. What was it just a little while ago? How he was saying that he mentioned using the disavow system. I'm just so confused. But anyway,
That was back in May. It was not that long ago. I mentioned a bit of that. Do you want me to do this one or do you?
Yeah,
want me to?
Sure. Go for it.
Okay. So it started off Chris Garrett on Blue Sky. I still have to use it. I'm signed up. I'm not there yet. He said, I'm seeing a bunch more people advocating disavowing toxic links. Still? Really? But I still don't see the tools giving me much in the way of a persuasive argument. John Mueller's response was, SEOs and site owners should not spend time disavowing toxic links. He said it is a billable waste of time to disavow toxic links as provided in some of these SEO tool sets. And, I've kind of known this. I think most SEOs know this, that disavowing, we don't do it anymore. If an SEO tells you we need to start disavowing links, you know, question it because it sounds ridiculous at this point. You can still do it. The tool is still live on Search Console. So I don't know. I don't do it. I don't waste time doing it. Maybe in an extreme situation, I might consider it maybe, but even that, I don't think I would, especially now. But back in May, John had said, most spammy paid placed and swapped links are just ignored nowadays. At some point, I'm sure we'll remove it, referring to the tool. Bing also removed their tool in 2023. In that post back at SE Roundtable in May, John did say that he also suggested that it's probably only usable in extreme situations. So he implied that it was still useful back then. So, you know, I guess a lot's happened in, what are we at, 8-9 months since he said that. Now he's like, it's a waste of time. Don't do it.
Oh.
So if you want confirmation, there you go.
There you go. Okay, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into our predictions for 2025.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have health news, a CDC update.
Pneumococcal vaccination is now recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
If you're a facilities manager at a university, you know students rely on the cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the occasional late-night snack. So when a dishwasher breaks down and dirty plates pile up, the mess hall can turn messy in the blink of an eye. Enter Grainger. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast delivery, the product you need now is never far away. So you can turn that dishwasher back into a lean, clean washing machine. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.FM. Hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company senior SEO, Scott Vanak. Okay. Well, why don't you jump in, Scott? What are your predictions? We broke them up into sections, so he's going to go first with his, and I'll jump in with mine.
Yeah, we'll probably have a bit of overlap, but maybe not too much. So I think my first prediction is kind of dumb because it's so obvious that AI advances will continue significantly. And I think in the world of search, we're going to see our tools are going to improve, like SEMrush is going to get better. Things like Screaming Frog, maybe we'll start using some form of AI. You know, who knows?
They already have integrated ChatGPT.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, okay. Well, see, there we go. It's already begun. I was right, and I didn't even know it. I think the tools are going to get better. I think when it comes to content creation, I mean, that's already getting better by the day. Automation in terms of AI content, it's there. People are doing it. Is it a good idea? Well, that's another question, but I think it's going to become really big. I think people are going to be able to just say go, and their AIs are just going to pump out content for better or for worse. I think we're going to see more of that. And I think AI is going to become more useful in doing SEO audits and that sort of thing, scanning sites for site health. Again, it kind of happens a little bit already, but it's not huge yet. So I think SEMrush is probably going to adopt that, and we're going to see a lot more of that. Tools, they're going to get better. I also think we're definitely, well, I don't, I think we know this basically, but we're going to see an increased AI presence in search, obviously. AI overviews will just keep evolving. They've changed a lot. I feel like they're getting better. We're seeing fewer instances where AI overviews are suggesting something totally ridiculous and stupid, like putting glue on a pizza, things like that. I think those days are going to be gone by the end of next year. We're going to see fewer of those obviously wrong answers. All the wrong answers we see will look right, but they'll still be wrong. So you're still going to have to be careful. And I think search is going to distance itself a lot further from the 10 blue links, thinking SGE, search generative experiences. I think just the results you see when you do a search are going to be wildly different in a year from now. More imagery, more, who knows? I don't know what it's going to look like, but I think it's just going to be that SGE thing is going to just change it up a lot. ChatGPT search is going to get a huge growth in market share, I hope, and I think it will. Google will, we just talked about this, will keep pumping out core updates and not give us any guidance on what any of them mean or what to do. And they'll probably do another one at Christmas time next year, if I'm being honest. I think content creation or the role of content is going to grow in terms of what you need to do, how much effort you need to put out into your content that you're creating. With so many people using AI, content is growing and jumping in leaps and bounds, and you're really going to have to push your experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness more than ever before. Putting out a 300-400 word blog post just on the fly is probably not going to cut it anymore. And that's already been reduced this year, but I think it's going to just be worse. And I think we'll probably start seeing a bit of a natural reduction in organic traffic, more specifically to informational sites. Like I said in my test with SearchGPT, the informational query I did was good. It was probably good enough that I didn't need to go elsewhere. I didn't need to click a link. So I think sites like that might see a bit of trouble. I don't know. It'll have less of an effect, in my opinion, on things like you know, looking for specific products or services where you're going to have to click through and learn more information about it. So, yeah, I think that's all I got.
All right. Well, that's so many. I literally delayed this show so long because I was creating a bit of a mind map, and more are coming to mind as I go here. But anyway, to start off with, I believe that Google will finally prove it's ahead of the AI competition. I mean, after all, they did create the transformers that have allowed platforms like ChatGPT even function. So they are, and we're ahead, but I think they've kept a lot indoors. And part of the example of that is their XR glasses they just announced that have some pretty amazing functionality if you believe the demo. And I've long since learned not to believe demos because they never seem to be real. But who knows? It could be really cool. So we'll see what happens there. But I believe they're going to shake out any concern that they're behind. Although I do hope they have a few more mistakes, like the glue thing. That was pretty funny. AI agents are going to become more usable in SEO. Now, AI agents, what the heck are those? I wanted to find a user-friendly way to describe it. There's two ways. One is kind of the default explanation. AI agents are autonomous, intelligent systems performing specific tasks without human intervention. Blah, blah. But I liked this response. Brian O'Neill, he's a professor of computer science at Quinnipiac University. I don't know where that is, but... he says, AI agents are technological tools that can learn a lot about a given environment and then, with a few simple prompts from a human, work to solve problems or perform specific tasks in that environment. He gave some great examples in an article I read, or skimmed anyway, and one of them was like, a Roomba is an AI agent. Its purpose is to clean. It's very, well, decent at it anyway, and it's designed to do that, so it doesn't fairly well. Well, we'll be able to create our own AI agents and tell them what to do. I think that either, you know, the usage of these will be quite simple, but over the course of 2025, many more use cases will be shown for more advanced methods, such as, and this is in SEO, this is in many other realms as well. But for example, you could use an AI agent to search Google for specific results, let's say in Reddit, and then filter them for specific criteria while also checking each posting profile to ensure that they have great reputation. So you're not just doing a search. You're doing a search, but then also telling it, okay, so this particular person on Reddit was talking about this. Make sure that this is worth following up. Do they have a good reputation? Do they have a good karma score? There's a bunch of stuff they could tell it to do, and then it will then output the results in this layout in Google Sheets. I already know this can be done to a certain degree, but this is going to be much more user-friendly. There's actually, well, we talked about Project Mariner in the last episode. This is going to be a Chrome extension coming out in 2025 if everything happens as expected. And I do believe there's a lot of pressure on Google, and going back to the first point I had, to show that they're ahead of the game. So I think 2025 is going to be like a deluge of interesting upgrades and everything to AI in our lives from Google. So we'll see what happens there. I believe, I think it was in the last episode we talked about how many people are using AI, and it was quite low. It was 20 or 30, something like that.
I think it was less. I think it was like 14 or 15%, something like that. It was
had
surprisingly
used
low.
AI. Well, I believe it's going to be in the 50 percentile in 2025, maybe as high as 60%. This stuff grows so quickly. Mm-hmm. And if it becomes ubiquitous and built into our environments, it's going to be a lot easier for everyone to try it. And I don't mean everyone's going to be using these every day, but if at least tried AI, it would be in the 60 percentile maybe. We'll see. One of the things I've been using a lot, and I find them interesting, they're far from perfect, but AI sandboxes. I think these are going to become ubiquitous amongst the more techie world here, especially in SEO. Now, what are they? Essentially, you create your own knowledge base and then use AI to just answer questions based on the content in that knowledge base. It doesn't need to look at anything else. That this is a really handy way for it to for you to train it. You know what? You know, although you're not technically training it, but you're giving it only access to information you want it to have, so that you get the results you want for your search. I'll give you an example of a really fun, well, not fun, very simple way of using it that saved me a lot of time and made it a little more fun than it would have been. That is, I was looking up bylaws for my house. And I thought, oh my God, there's no way I'm going to get through this document. It was like the most horrid legalese I've ever seen. And of course, it was meant for the public. Yeah, right. Well, I thought, well, why don't I use GetOdin? This is the tool I use, getodin.ai. And I created a sandbox, or in this case, a project, they call it. And I made it Saanich bylaws. That's where I live, Saanich. So, and then I uploaded the bylaws and I let it ingest it. It took a little while for it to read through it all and make it part of the knowledge base. And then I asked a simple question. What do I need to know about putting a shed on the side of my house? A bunch of other questions. And it came out with all the answers and told me where to look. And I was like, this is so much easier. Now, why in heck the municipality doesn't have a simple question and answer system for this, I don't know. But think of the other applications for that. I'm already using it for clients where I need to know more about their very intricate softwares. I can upload all their manuals. I can then do searches within that one knowledge base and go, okay, what are the main advantages of this? And it can actually go offline or go online as well and compare things, but it's going to specifically use what you have in this knowledge base. So I asked it to compare and contrast that their tool versus another tool, and it gave me great insights. It didn't necessarily have all that information at its behest, but now it does. Really, really, really interesting what you can do with this. And I understand from Dave Davies, I went to lunch with him the other day, he was saying, and he works at Weights and Measures, I understand that there is going to, OpenAI has announced that they're going to include sandboxes in their paid system soon. I don't know whether or not it will be available to everyone or it'll be a next, because they've already talked about increasing rates. So maybe only in the plus version, which is a lot more money. I don't know. But there are already these competitive systems like Odin. There's another one I bought recently too, I think was another app, Sumo app, that does the same concept. I never like to just put all my eggs in one basket because you never know, one of these companies could go under. So I like to at least have a couple that are really good. And sometimes they do one thing better than the other one. Anyway, really look into these. I think it's going to be fascinating. I mean, you could have it. You could throw all of your emails into one of these systems for the last two decades, and it'll probably do a better job of searching it. And then you could use it to create ChatGPT answers. And I mean, it's so amazing, all the things you can do. And I think that's going to be much more common in 2025. SearchGPT will open access to the public without an account by mid-2025. That's my belief.
Yeah.
I don't think it will be earlier. I think there's a lot of pressure for them to know how many people are in it and to get that personal information that an account provides. And even mid-2025 might be, I don't know, too optimistic, but I'm hoping by then, because that at that point, and you don't need to have an account, they'll really be in the running as a search engine. And yep. I think everyone wants to see that with Google just owning too much. I also believe that by the end of 2025, they'll be including ads. There's going to be a lot of pressure to make money on that. And why not, right? If they're doing a great job, it's going to be pretty obvious. Whether or not they're going to use their own systems or they're going to use a third party, I would highly doubt they're going to use their own system. I would expect that they're going to be using a third party system to do that. I don't know what it would be, but yeah.
I think those will basically come hand in hand because AI is so expensive to run. And if they open it up to be free for everybody, that's going to be pricey. And so I bet ads roll out at the same time or very close to the same time, at least like within a few months is what I would guess.
Yeah, definitely. One of the things I didn't note here is that I believe we're going to hear a lot more about the AI wall that they're going to be hitting. They're already hitting it. Essentially the limitations on, the power that's required to run these systems, the financial, like just, there's only so much money to throw at them. Although you're getting a lot of it. Also one of the more finite resources is information used to train AI. That's limited. I mean, it really is limited, especially if they're going to follow ethics. So that's going to be a big issue, and we're going to hear a lot more about it in 2025. Now, as I understand it, there's going to be some, they're going to try some artificial methods to create information that they can train with, which is really creepy. I can see too many biases happening there. We'll have to see what happens there. Anyway, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's really fascinating. I heard that Google, it has actually bought 3 nuclear reactors. These are not built yet, but they're getting them built specifically for them. They're not building themselves. That would be crazy. But a company has literally won the bid to build them 3 nuclear reactors to run all this.
Powered by Android.
It's insane. Now, if the reactors look like big Android, like, that'd be cool. Well,
they should.
Yeah.
They should, right?
I haven't found the article on that, so I may be talking about my ass, but it was from someone I trusted who said that. So that's just crazy.
If you're wrong, just say it was a prediction.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. AI overviews will gradually become, I don't know, I was just throwing this out there, but will gradually become the top 25% of search real estate consistently in all searches. And more ads will be incorporated into this. I believe that's going to cause a bit of dysphoria, because it's bad enough when AI overviews are taking over space, but then when they add ads into it, which they will, we've already seen samples of them doing it. It's, I don't know. I hope they take a hit. I really do. I don't think that that's going to provide a very good search experience. Now, I wanted to get into some dream ones. Wouldn't these be great? Google will be told to break up by the Department of Justice. They're considering it, but they haven't actually made that choice. So we'll see. Next up, Google will finally bring down the hammer on local spam. We can dream.
Dream. Yeah, emphasis on the dream.
Yeah. Bing will rise to a 10% or more market share. It's a long way to go. I think they're at 4 right now, or 3.
Not much.
Search GPT will move to a 15% market share. I don't know whether that's out of touch. It's hard to, by the end of the year, they could be 10. It's really up to them, especially if they open it up to the wider use of the public. And Search GPT isn't exactly the friendliest URL. Hopefully they can figure something else.
No, what is it, like chatgpt.ai/search or something, isn't it?
No, now you can just type in searchgpt.com.
Oh, you can. Okay. Yeah. Well, still kind of sucks,
yeah.
But.
Yeah, exactly. It's not great. And that's going to have, I think that's going to be a big problem unless they build it into certain browsers, which they're going to obviously attempt to do, that makes good sense, or at least plugins. And my dream is that I'll own a pair of Android XR glasses that work in Canada, which is about a 0.0001% chance, I'm sure, since I don't even believe they're releasing them next year. And if they do, I think they're starting off with a headset and not the glasses yet. Oh. So we'll see.
So you need to be a beta tester, and then maybe you can get your hands on a pair.
Yeah, a Canadian beta tester. That's rare. I can only imagine.
Make it happen, Ross.
I'm going to do everything I can.
Yeah.
I'll beg. Well, there we go. There's a few. I'd love to share more. Maybe I'll share some more at the beginning of next year. I definitely want to put more thought into this, because there's so many fascinating things happening right now. And I know enough people, and I've read enough information about sort of the insider stuff that's going on, that I think it's just a matter of writing it down and seeing the connections. I used to do that a lot with Jim Hedger. Jim was really good at brainstorming too. And we used to put that on the wall, like put together whatever the idea was on the wall. And then we'd start breaking it down. Remember that?
Yeah, we always had a whiteboard going, or not a whiteboard, but an easel with
you
know, the paper on it. Yeah,
I only just got rid of that easel. It's funny. Anyway, yeah, and it was just a great way to go, oh, there's that connection. And it really, really helps. So I want to do more of that, and maybe it'll come out with some interesting stuff to share with you in 2025. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. It's been a pleasure this year. I can't believe we're almost at episode 500. At which point, we're going to try and get a special guest. No idea exactly who yet. We've got some thoughts, but we'll see what happens. Remember, we have a show notes newsletter you can sign up for at SEO101radio.com. So I hope you do that. We do put a lot of effort into making sure that's really useful for you. Anyway, have a great week and a great beginning of your new year. And remember to tune into future episodes, which air every week on WMR.fm.
Awesome. Thank you for listening, everybody.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.